Good morning to you all. It's good to see you in the Lord's house today. As we begin our service today and our call to worship, I want to draw your attention to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and specifically the very first part of this particular verse, which reads, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil." There is a contrasting example that's given to us here of approach of coming to worship God at His house. One is, what can I say? Another is, what can I hear? Now, obviously, there are people that are gifted and are encouraged to teach in Sunday school and to be in church to teach, and certainly we understand that. But I'm afraid that many times we come with the idea, I'm going to bring all my ideas and opinions, and I'll hear what you have to say, but I've got to tell you what I think about it. There's been a major shift in our country in our view of what church is. And our Sunday schools have become a time where we come and we just share our opinions rather than hear what God says in His Word. Where you have a teacher instructing hearers in the Word of God. Now, I think that's a great loss. I think that's a horrible loss. For God warns us here, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Very interesting expression there. It says, be careful when you step into my house. That's what he's saying there. When you step into my house, you be very careful. You come to hear and not to give. Now, that's a whole different philosophy. To hear what? Well, he goes on to indicate about the Word of God, the truths of God that need to be shared with us. We need to come to hear God's Word. Many times we come with our notions and our opinions and so forth, and we immediately cut off the teacher or the preacher when they say something we don't agree with, rather than saying, is this what God says in His Word? Well, I need to change and I need to get adjusted to the Word of God, rather than allowing my opinion to take a higher priority. The difference is the fact that it says here in this latter part, than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Whenever you put your opinion or your idea or your thought ahead of God's Word, you are committing an evil. That is the emphasis of this particular. You're basically putting your opinion ahead of God's, therefore you're giving the sacrifice of fools. That's what a fool does. A fool sacrifices. He's constantly giving of himself. And what does he have to give? Nothing of any value. He gives evil. And so what a reminder to us today as we've gathered together. May we come with a heart that wants to hear God's Word. Sometimes God says things in His Word that are striking. We're going to be getting into that today. Talking about the narrow way, the straight way, literally the hard way. Yes, that's what God said. The hard way is the way that we are to go. And sometimes we'll put up these barriers, I don't agree with that, and we'll move on and did not realize that we just committed an evil. We sacrificed the sacrifice of fools when we did not receive God's Word. And we don't want to do that. There are very clear consequences for that. We want to come to hear what God has to say. Now, you're to check everything that the preacher says and every Sunday school teacher says with what? Your opinion, your idea, your philosophy? No, with the Word of God. That's the guide that you check it with. And if it's on target with the Word of God, then what should you do? Well, when you keep your foot, you're careful about coming into God's ear, be more willing to hear. The hearing of the Word of God brings faith, and faith brings you closer to the presence of God. What a wonderful thing it is to know the Lord, and I trust that you've come today to hear God's Word and to receive it and not to bring the sacrifice of fools.
Take a hymn book this morning and turn to number 331, please. Number 331, Tell Me the Old, Old Story. Let's stand together to sing.
Jesus, send His glory, Lord Jesus.
as the pastor comes to lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity and the privilege to gather together in your place to worship thy holy name, to sing praises, and give adoration to thee who alone is worthy to receive worship and praise. We thank you, Father, for your great love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, you sent your only begotten Son to die on Calvary's tree, to shed his precious blood, that we might have remission of sin, and then for the fact that he rose bodily from the tomb in victory over sin, death, and hell, that we might know eternal life, that we might have the power to live the Christian life, that we might have a home in heaven, and that we might have an eternal heirship with Jesus Christ, totally undeserved and yet given by grace. And we thank you, Father, for that wonderful truth. And I pray for those who may be here today or those who listen by way of radio or through the internet, that if they're without the Savior, that they would turn to him right now before it's too late. May they call upon his precious name. Oh, Father in heaven, I pray that this would be a profitable time today. As we open thy word, as we worship thee, as we hear from heaven, I pray that we would indeed keep our foot as we enter into thy house, and that we might consider the seriousness of what we are doing, that we are gathering around your precious word to hear from thee and to be taught by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would bring upon us a seriousness and an understanding and a soberness of what it means to live for thee and what it means to know thee. We thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy that you bestow, and we thank you, Father, for your great love to us. Father, we pray today for our country. Lord, our hearts are grieved by what we are seeing in our land, an utter abandon towards sin, the throwing out of any kind of moral foundation, moral understanding, moral instruction, and instead the embracing of everything that is filthy and vile and calling it good. Lord, that's our culture, but that's not how we are to live. We're to live by the precepts and the statutes and the commandments of your precious word. And I pray, Father, that we might submit to the authority of your word today, and that our country, the people of our land, might understand that without the Lord there is no hope. Without the Lord there is no deliverance. That hope and deliverance are found in Jesus Christ alone. And I pray for pastors and preachers all across this land that they'll wake up, and that they'll stop preaching the culture's message, and that they'll proclaim the Word of God without fear and favor. That they would not worry about those that they might upset or anger when they proclaim your Word, but rather that they would be faithful to thee and know that the Holy Spirit of God can take the Word of God and change hearts and lives. And so I pray, Father, for faithful preachers today. Give them power and strength. I think also of missionaries who are serving thee all around the world. I pray, Father, for them. I pray that you might provide for them financially, but I pray especially that you would provide for them spiritually. I pray that you would do a work in their hearts and lives to encourage them to be faithful in the proclaiming of the gospel message, the message that changes hearts and lives. And I pray, dear Father, that you would allow them to have all of their spiritual needs met through the Word of God, whereby that they can be used of thee and know thy power in their ministry. Lord, we think of so many of our missionaries today. We think of the Frasers there in the Philippines. We ask, dear Father, that you would be with Rachel and that you'd be with Phil as they minister there. We thank you for now their 20-plus years of ministry there. And we know, dear Father, it's not an easy place where they are ministering, but we ask, dear Father, that you would strengthen and encourage them. We pray, Father, that you would defeat the devil, and that you would allow them to be able to proclaim your word, and that souls will be saved, and that men and women will be raised up from their congregation to go out and to carry the message of the gospel throughout their land. Father, we think of many more missionaries today, but we would ask your special watch care over them. And Father, I pray that you would be with those of our church who are suffering and going through difficult times physically. Lord, I pray that you would undertake for each one. And Father, we pray for others of our church family that could not be here today because of sickness. We ask your Father that you would provide healing for them. Now, dear Lord, bless our time of singing. Bless our time of hearing thy word. And we pray, Father, that we might go forth from this place equipped to serve Thee. Help us not to walk out the doors and just go about our schedule and forget our mission, our purpose. And that's to carry the good news to our neighbors, our friends, those that we work with. May they know that, first of all, we're a Christian. But secondly, that we love the Lord Jesus and we want them to know the Savior as well. Give us courage and give us grace. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated and we'll turn now to number 571, please. Number 571, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Number 474, Take the World But Give Me Jesus. We'll sing just on the first and last stanzas, number 474, verses 1 and 4.
Thank you.
Appreciate the medley of songs by Pastor Watt. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're continuing in our series in the book of Matthew, and specifically today looking at verses 13 and 14. We began last week with the title of our message being Citizenship Matters. Citizenship Matters. There are two gates, two ways, two destinations, and two groups that are given to us in these two verses of Scripture, and they indicate two different citizenships. One is a citizenship of natural state, and the other is a citizenship of a supernatural state. Something has happened. Now, I want you to remember and understand when we began this particular passage of Scripture that I emphasized that this is not just primarily talking about the way to hell and the way to heaven. This is talking about two ways of doing business in this world. One way is God's way, and the other way is your way. All right? That's the broad way. I'm making it personal. I think sometimes whenever we come to this passage of Scripture, we kind of think, well, the broad way, that's the devil's way. No, it's your way. Let's not blame it on somebody else. Let's call it what it is. It's your way. You can go your way. And the Bible says you're going to reap the consequences of going your way. You can go God's way through the narrow gate, through the narrow way, and you'll be led unto life. You will know the presence of God on your pathway. You will know the grace of God. You will know the mercy. It's not going to be a problem-free road. It's going to be a difficult road. It's going to be a hard road. But it's God's road. Therefore, it makes it the right road. Now, we want to make that comparison today as we consider beyond the two gates that we emphasized last week to the two ways. And I think it's important for us to see where the gates lead. A gate is an entrance way. And by the way, Christian, you can choose to go off the narrow way if you want to and go down your way, get back on the broad way. Which leads to what, by the way? Destruction. It's a gate. A gate has, you can go in one way and you can come out the other. All right? You go two ways through a gate. So let's examine here where the two gates lead today. There are two ways that are mentioned here in our passage. Let's read verses 13 and 14. We'll go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll come to this two ways that are given here. Enter ye in at the straight gate. That's the hard gate, narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let's pray. Father, bless your word. We ask, dear Father, for thy Holy Spirit to be at work in our hearts. Lord, help us not to say to ourselves, well, I've heard about this passage many, many times. I can just go to sleep now. Father, I pray that you would deliver us from a careless and apathetic heart. I pray that you would give us the kind of heart that wants to hear what you have to say from your word. And so I pray that you would open the scriptures to us as we seek to understand what you were sharing that day in the Sermon on the Mount with the disciples that were present and those that were there to hear. And we pray, Father, that we might take to heart your message, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We looked at the two gates last week. Now we're going to look at the two ways today. The two ways are given to us, having gone through the gates. The gate that is wide leads to the way that is broad. The broad way is the way of the ungodly. I'm putting it in generic terms so we can understand. That's the way the majority of the earth is going, the way of the ungodly. The narrow gate leads to the way that is narrow and hard. The narrow way is the way of the godly. And we're putting it in simple terms we can all understand. Now, the way that is broad is the easy, attractive, inclusive, indulgent, permissive, and self-oriented way of the world. Now, I said, remember at the beginning, it's your way. It's your way. All right? There are few rules, few restrictions, few requirements, and people like it that way. People like, just give me a few rules, few restrictions, few requirements, and I'll be happy. No, you won't. You will not be happy. This world is full of unhappy people who have few rules and few restrictions, and they bear in their bodies the reminders of the few rules and the few restrictions and the few claims that are made upon their life. All you need to do in this way is to profess Jesus, and you are readily accepted into this large and diverse group without so much as breaking a sweat. Say a little prayer, quick prayer. Yeah, I trust Jesus. And then you get on this broad way. Now, I want you to think with me now because this is very important. Sin is tolerated on this way. Truth is marginalized. Humility is ignored. Self-will is honored. Ease is glorified on this way. This way requires no spiritual work, no spiritual maturity, no moral character, no commitment, no sacrifice, no one to answer to except whom? Yourself. All right? Now, I've just described to you the broad way. It is the easy way of floating downstream in the course of the world, according to the prince and power of the air, of the spirit which is now working in the sons of disobedience, Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Bible makes that clear. That's the course of this world, the broad way. That's where the sons of disobedience are happy, going on the broad way. It is the way that seemeth right unto a man. But what is the end thereof? The Bible says the end of the ways thereof are death. We learn that in Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Jesus says, the way that is narrow, small, straight, is the hard way, the demanding way, the way of self-denial, the way of the cross. In addition, if you travel this way, You're going to have to go with a small crowd, and that bothers some people. They like bigness. They like big crowds. They like big entertainment, big activities. I got to be in the big. I got to be in with everybody else. Well, then you need to stay off the narrow way. Because the Bible says, few there be that find it. The broad way is full of people. The broad way is crowded with traffic. Everyone is teeming and bubbling on the broad way. But it leads, the Bible says, to destruction. Now, the word stenos that's used here, translated straight, means, in other places, narrow or hard. And it comes from the root word, which means to groan, as from being under pressure, or is figuratively used to represent a restriction or a constriction. That's often how the Greeks use that particular word, where you'd have a restricted area. Maybe you had a buildup or a blockage inside of a pipe. And they would refer to that as stenos. It's been narrowed down. It's been constricted. That's the word that's used. We get our word stenography from the word stenos, which simply means writing with an abbreviated or compressed style. I would say that's probably how most people text today. They leave out vowels. And words are shortened up so you don't have to spend as much time. That's a compressed, that's stenos. All right? And by the way, when you try to read it, it's hard. If you don't know what in the world all these abbreviations are that they use. I've gotten some jumbled up stuff from people over the last few years, and I have no idea what they were trying to say because they were using the shortened form like that. It's hard. There are few, the Bible says, who find this way. It is the way of the minority. Don't forget that. The Christian soldier in uniform is in the minority. A young man in the Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, Army, who is a Christian, I'm afraid, is in the minority. It's tough. It's tough. A Christian man or woman who is in the medical field is in the minority. A Christian man or woman who is in the field of law, education, politics, is in the minority. It's a hard way. I've had two conversations over this past week with individuals who said, being a Christian in my place of business or in the military is a hard way. You have to constantly say no. And that's hard. And it's hard for them to understand why you don't go to the drinking parties, why you don't participate in all the different things that they want you to do and all the staff parties that they may have and things of that nature. Let me tell you something. The narrow way is a hard way. It's not the popular way. Few there be that find it. It is a narrow road and not many people are traveling it. The other road is easy to get into. The gate is wide open. And when you get in, it is wide and user-friendly. Lots of signs. Lots of ways to bring you down the broad way. All right? It is full of people. There's excitement, entertainment, music, laughter. Everybody is having a good time on the broad way. As they said of Joan Rivers this past week, who was honored by Fox News Channel because she was a Republican. They did a big special on her. Passed away this week. After tweeting before she went in, She made this kind of an offhand comment. I mean, yeah, I could die in there, and made a big joke about it. And she did. Joan Rivers, though she was a conservative Republican, was a vile, filthy-mouthed woman. I don't care what all of the pundits are saying about what a wonderful woman she was and how she gave. I'm sure she gave to charity and did all those kind of things. But when it came to her comedy, she was filthy. Nobody said anything about that yesterday. No one told about her filthy comments that she would make to people. That she was famous for that. She would come up to men and make filthy comments and trying to draw laughter and so forth like that. And yet, this is what they said on New York Times lead article. She is doing heaven now. Like it was a comedy routine. She's doing heaven now, like she was doing Vegas. Or doing Broadway, or doing something else. Listen, if that woman did not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there seems to be no indication that she ever did. She considered herself to be an atheist in later years. She did not go to heaven. All right? Not because of anything other than the fact that she's a sinner. Not because of her status in life, but because without the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where all sinners go. But isn't it odd that that's how the world says she's doing heaven now? She lived on the Broadway her whole life, and yet she's doing heaven? Some people don't know the Bible. The wrong road is the popular road. The very fact that the road is crowded is proof that it's the wrong road. Are you listening? The very fact that it's crowded means that it's the wrong road. The people on the crowded road crucified Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. The people on the broad road crucified Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's all of us here this morning because we were on the broad road. Now, maybe by God's grace you've been saved and you're on the right road today. But because of your sin, you crucified the Savior. Don't ever forget that. Those on the Broadway were the ones that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. God's people have never been in the majority, and I want you to know this, will never be in the majority until Jesus Christ comes again. And we all gather from all the ages in heaven, and we're gathered together with His angels that He has created, and we have a majority then to honor and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the narrow way is to be sought after diligently. Notice the tenor of this. Enter ye in at the straight gate. That is given as an imperative. The aorist imperative tense, which means it demands a definite and specific action on your part. Enter. God says you need to seek the narrow gate diligently. No one stumbles into the kingdom of God. All right? No one stumbles into the kingdom of God. The narrow way leads to life. Listen to Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, one of my favorite verses from Jeremiah. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. Now, let me tell you something. We've got a wrong notion about finding God. You've got to seek Him with all of your heart. And I'm afraid today that we have divided hearts. We'll seek Jesus on Sunday, and the rest of the week we live for ourselves. That won't work. That will not work. You will not find the Lord unless you deliberately, with all of your heart, seek Him. That's what the Word of God says there. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. That's what the Bible says. Listen to Luke chapter 13, verses 23 through 24. In the parallel passage and the Sermon on the Mount, then said one unto him, there was a question that was asked of the Lord, Lord, are there few that be saved? And He said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now, what did we just say? We need to be seeking after the narrow gate diligently. And He said to that man who answered Him that question, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. That's what's recorded in the book of Luke about this passage of Scripture. He was very clear. We're going to look in later verses here in this particular passage about what the Lord says about those who cry out to Him, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? Have we not done wonderful works in Thy name? And He says to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. In other words, they were still traveling on the Broadway. They never came through the narrow gate onto the narrow way which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. Now, the term adgenizomai, translated strive in Luke chapter 13, indicates that entering the narrow gate takes conscious, purposeful, and intense effort. That is the term from which we get agonize, and it is the same word used here. Paul uses this word to describe the athlete who agonizes, competing to win a race in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. And also the Christian who fights the good fight of faith, literally struggles the good struggle of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Agonizomai. It means to struggle, to agonize, to labor. That's the same word that's used here about entering in at the straight gate. You've got to buck the culture. You've got to buck your wicked heart and the tendency of every man, woman, and child on this earth to go to that gate. The Lord said, enter. Can I enter a gate that God says to enter? What's the answer? Yes, because behind every divine command in the Bible, every command is God's omnipotence. So if God says, enter in at the straight gate, I can do it. Teenager, you can do it this morning. Child, adult, old, young, you can enter the straight gate. Some people say, well, I don't think I can do that. You can do whatever God tells you to do, because behind it is His omnipotence. Now, let's go on with this thought here. This is why so few come God's way. It's too hard, they think, and they would rather go the easy way that is less demanding. Why do people compromise and go down the broad way instead of staying on it? Because it's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy to be laughed at and scorned and mocked by this world. And yet, we're spending a lot of time in our Bible colleges today trying to teach men how they can reach the world here with gimmicks. How we can speak their language. If you speak their language, then they'll come to you. No, they won't. Listen, they have to have the work of God's Spirit in their heart and life, and they've got to hear the Word of God. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Can I hear for somebody else with gimmicks? No. You don't understand how it works. It's the Word of God. It's the communication of the Word of God. And then they hear the Word of God, and then faith comes, and they receive the Word of God. But today we're not satisfied with the numbers, and so we've come up with a new way of evangelizing. Quick prayerism. This notion and idea, if we can just get people to come to church, then surely they'll be saved. If they're coming to church, obviously they're saved. And we are not evangelizing according to the Word of God, and our churches are full of people who are lost, that are still on the broad way, the easy way that leads to hell. It's less demanding on the broad way. They do not think of consequences that may come their way on the broad way. How sad, for I have just described many people who attend church today all across America who sit without struggle, who live without hardness, who avoid commitment to the cause and work of Christ because they do not want to be tied down to anything so they can go play in this world. You understand? Maybe I'm describing you this morning. Don't tie me down with all that kind of stuff. Man, I want to get out there and I want to play. I want to get as much of this world. But what you're doing is losing Christ. Think about the consequences. I don't want to get too tied down. I mean, all these claims and all this type of stuff, witnessing to people. I don't have time to witness to people. I got time for me. Yes, you do. And you're going to lose Christ. You're going to lose Christ. Listen, Christian, the Word of God puts claims on your life. You will stand before Jesus Christ. I know it's uncomfortable to think of, and we don't talk about things that are uncomfortable in the church today. I don't know how many preachers I've heard to when they respond to saying, well, you're too hard in the projector. You're too hard. This is hard. God's way is hard. We're going to give an account someday. It's high time we realize the seriousness of that. Well, God wants us to have fun. Well, certainly, God is a God of humor. He gave us the ability of humor, but some people don't know when to draw the line. It's funny all the time. It's humor all the time. We never get serious about anything. It's play, 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 laugh, 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 joke, 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 and we're on our way down the broad way that leads to destruction. The idea is two parallel roads that's given here. There's no sign on the Broadway here that says going to hell. You notice that? There's no sign on there that says going to hell. One is a paved highway. You can picture yourself when you go through Montgomery on I-85. When you're headed towards 65 to do the turn to come down 65, there's a road just outside of Montgomery that runs all the way down into the city. It's a little teeny tiny two-lane road. And it's amazing. You're driving along on I-85. You're headed to Montgomery, and there's that parallel road that's going. It's narrow. And you're on the wide interstate. That's the picture that's given to us here. The world, the devil, the Broadway pictures itself as two roads just going side by side. We're all going the same way, right? How many times have you heard that? There's many ways to God. We're all going the same way. No, we're not. The picture is that you go down this parallel road, the narrow way which leadeth unto life, and this broad way that promises life, all right, kind of. And then all of a sudden you're driving along and then you're over the precipice and it goes straight down to hell. Right after the hurricane, we had the tragic news of that trucker that was going across the Escambia County Bridge over there over Escambia Bay and how his truck went over that. He was driving along and did not realize that several sections of the bridge had been knocked over by that storm surge back in 2004. And his truck just went careening off into Escambia Bay and they found his body down by the Crisp power plant. Had no idea. He was going down the highway and then the highway wasn't there anymore. The bridge was gone and he lost his life. That's the picture that's given here. Two roads, parallel roads. One pictured by the Broadway that everybody seems to be going on. But what it's leading to is a precipice. There's a picture in Aunt Carolyn's office. Many of you have seen it. It has two bodies of land. And there's the great pit representing hell, and you see the flames riding up. And there's only one way that goes across to the other side, and that's the way of the cross, and it has a picture of the cross going across. But it shows the highway where the people are going off the Broadway into destruction. That's the picture. Two roads pictured as going the same way, but one leads to life and the other one leads to destruction, and they don't realize it. That's the two ways that are given to us here in the Word of God. I want you to keep it that way in your thinking. People refuse to go the narrow way because it's hard, too much commitment, too many claims on my time, and I don't want that. I want to be free to do what I want to do. That's the Broadway mentality. That leadeth to destruction. And sometimes it takes a while for the destruction to come. I've watched it unfold in families through the years. The Broadway, going down the Broadway, going down. Oh, things seem to be great for a while. Things seem to be going good. The money's flowing in. Everything's going just great. And then all of a sudden, the precipice comes up. Try to hit the brakes! I gotta hit the brakes! But they never hit them in time, it seems like. How sad. How sad to think that somehow I'm going to hit the brakes before I go over the precipice. Dr. Hobbs used to tell about a man that he trained with, I believe it was out in Texas, in the Army Air Corps. And he kept with him a prayer that he put in the cockpit, stuck it up on the yoke, had it up there. And Dr. Hobbs asked him, what's that for? He said, well, if something happens to us, we get shot down or whatever, I want to be able to say this prayer, and that way I can go to heaven. Is that how that works? That's the Broadway thinking. Who's still in charge? Me. Me. And there are a lot of quote-unquote Christians that have got something stuck on their driver's steering wheel. They've got it stuck there. Yeah, I'll do that whenever the going gets tough. I'll come back to God whenever. But right now, I'm going to enjoy this world. I'm going to get everything I can get out of this world. I'm going to just live it up. That's Broadway thinking that leads to destruction. Don't think you can put on the brakes. There are a lot of people in the graveyard today that thought that they could put the brakes on their life and somehow avoid disaster and still go down the Broadway that leadeth to destruction. How foolish. How foolish. What does it take to bring you back to the narrow way? Well, let's think about the destinations for just a moment. There are two. The Bible tells us in verse 13, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to," say it out loud please, "destruction." All right, that's the broad way, the broad gate leads to destruction, verse 14. "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life." Now there are two opposites, destruction, life. Parallel roads pictured. One goes off the precipice into destruction, the other one leads to life in Jesus Christ. Two different destinations. They are not the same. They're not even close. Both the broad way and the narrow way point to the good life. But only the narrow way actually leads to eternal life. Oh, you've heard the good life. When I was a kid, they used to have these commercials for these beer commercials, and always talked about the good life. The good life. As if drinking a beer is the good life. Right? Can you imagine how low your standard must be for the good life, if that's it? All right? You deserve a break today. All right? At McDonald's. Give me a break. Listen, that's what you get when you go stand in line at McDonald's, is a long break. Fast service? Are you kidding me? I could jump over the counter, fix my burger, fix my salad, jump back over in the time it takes them to take my order. Okay? Fast food? You deserve a break today at McDonald's? Oh, we've got all these jingles, and we stick them on our life as we go down the Broadway, do we not? There is nothing to indicate here that the Broadway is marked hell. The point our Lord is making here is that it is marked heaven. The Broadway is marked with signs that say, the road to heaven. That's the deception. That's the treachery. That is the pulling away from the hoped for consequence. I'm going to go to heaven, go on the Broadway, and then all of a sudden it's snatched out from underneath you and you end up in hell. How many people, I wish if we could endure it just 5 minutes to take our congregation to hell and watch as the people arrive. Can you imagine the shock of most people? As 1 minute they were in a hospital, their heart stops beating, their soul leaves their body and then goes down into that place known as hell. And the shock of arriving there. I was a good Christian. What am I doing here? Something's wrong. They thought they were on their way to heaven. Joan Rivers is doing heaven. But if she was not trusting in Jesus Christ, she's doing hell. The awakening moment. Well, there used to be a film years ago that we showed here at church, The Burning Hell, that took us into the flames of hell. It was one of the most powerful movies I think I've ever seen. It scared me to death. You know why? Because we're complacent. You know, people talk about hell and so forth, but it never becomes a reality for some reason in the mind and in the heart. We live like hell on this earth, and it doesn't bother us. But I'm going to tell you something. 1 second after your soul leaves your body, if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ, you will wake up in a devil's hell and there is no exits. There's no second opportunity. The Bible makes that very clear. That's the destination. It's destruction. The road abruptly ends at the precipice of hell. The great lie pawned on people all around the world, the false religions of the world. Our way will lead you to heaven, but it leads people to hell. Two very different destinations of the two ways are made clear by our Lord. Jeremiah again, 21 and verse 8. "And unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." Which road are you on this morning? The broad way leads to destruction. It is an attractive road that promises heaven, but delivers hell. Greek word for destruction, apollya. Is that a familiar word? Apollyon, the abode of Satan. Apollya, destruction does not refer to extinction or annihilation as some people translate it, but to total ruin and loss, eternal death. It is used 5 times in Matthew alone and in 2 Thessalonians 1:9 and Jude verses 6 and 7. It is not the complete loss of being, but the complete loss of well-being. That's hell. You never die. You're awake, you're conscious, you're suffering, and it never ends. It's referred to as eternal death, but it's actually living death for all eternity. That's the destination. The narrow way, on the other hand, leads to life. It promises challenge, difficulty, but grace and strength along the way, and the end thereof is life. Everlasting life is a quality of life. The life of God in the soul of man. Listen to John 14, verses 2 through 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. But the only way you're going to get there is through the narrow way and the narrow gate that leadeth unto life. Finally, the two groups. Going into the two gates, traveling down the two ways, and heading for the two destinations are two groups of people. Those who go in through the wide gate and travel that way find their destination leads them to an unseen horror, the pit of hell. But it must not be too bad because there's a lot of people on this road. You ever tried to convince yourself that you were on the right road because there were a lot of people traveling it? And you were on the wrong road because you didn't see any cars. Now sometimes, if you're on a narrow road and it's getting narrower and narrower and it's going from pavement to dirt to grass to a camel standing in front of you, you're probably on the wrong road. All right? Now, just because there are a lot of people doing it, are you listening, young people? A lot of people doing it doesn't make it right. And it doesn't make them right. It could very well be that it's all wrong. So just because the group's doing it does not mean that it's right. The many will include pagans and nominal Christians, atheists and religionists, theists and humanists, Jews and Gentiles, every person from whatever age, background, persuasion, and circumstance who has not come to saving obedience in Jesus Christ. In the day of judgment, many will claim to be followers of Christ. Notice, please, verses 22 and 23 of the book of Matthew here. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They never were saved. They were lost. They thought they were saved. They thought they were on their way to heaven. But they were traveling the broad way. They will be excluded, those who profess what they did not possess. They profess to know and trust Christ, but who refuse to come to Him on His terms. Anytime you set up your own terms, you're not doing it God's way. You have to do it God's way. Through His gate, through His way, to His destination. The group that goes through the narrow gate and travels the narrow way are destined to life, but there are few that find it. When Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, my little flock," in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, the word He used for little was micros. We get our word micro from that, meaning something small. Many are called, but few are chosen. We read that in Matthew 22 and verse 14. There's a theme here in Matthew that God wants you to get a hold of. The broad way is populated, but it leads to destruction. The narrow way is hard. It's difficult. There are a lot of claims that God has on you. And few are on that road, but it's the way that leads to life. Believers are not few in number because the gate is too small. Okay, it's not because the gate is too small to accommodate more. There are not few because heaven is not big enough. The numbers are not few because God wants them to die in their sin. For 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says that He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The numbers are few because they do not like the Bible's conditions. Let's put the blame where it lies. We just don't like the Bible's conditions about the narrow way. It's hard, and we like things easy. Our culture is all about easy. But God's culture is all about doing what's right, and that's hard in a wicked, lawless world. So you better understand it. You better know it. Every person who will come to Jesus can come to Jesus because He's provided a gate and He has provided a way. Listen to John 6, verses 37 and 40 as we close. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him might have eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. That's the promise. You want to know about accepting? When you go through the narrow gate and you go on the narrow way, you will receive the Lord who will receive you. He will in no wise cast you out. But when you go on the broad way, they're lying to you because they're saying you're on your way to heaven and they dump you in hell. Talk about inclusion, acceptance. That's rejection at the highest level. That's what the culture promises. That's what the devil promises. That's what every religion in the world promises. Oh, you come our way, you're going to go to heaven. But they dump you in hell. You go God's way, He will receive you unto Himself, that where He is, there you will be also. I will in no wise cast you out. Folks, this is the most powerful message in the Sermon on the Mount, these two verses. Because it indicates to us not only the two destinations of destruction and life, but it indicates that even good people can leave the narrow way and get back on the broad way. We're not talking about losing salvation. We're talking about doing it the world's way, the broad way, the easy way. God help us to see the truth this morning. God desired for His disciples to know the truth. There was a man sitting there listening to this message. His name was Judas Iscariot. He heard a clear presentation of the broad way and the narrow way, and what did he choose to do? He chose the broad way. And when everything was said and done, he cast the money aside, the silver that had been given to him when he had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, and he went out, and the Bible says he hanged himself. That's where the broad way leads. It always dumps you in hell. May God enlighten your heart this morning to the truth of the narrow way that leadeth unto life. Would you bow your heads? Father in heaven, we thank You for this precious Word. And Lord, these verses are not complicated. They're easy, but they're tough. They're hard. They say some very strong things. And we live in a world that doesn't like hard and tough and strong. We want to be patted on the back. We want to have a warm embrace. We want to be able to hear nice words, kind words all the time. That's not the way of the Bible. The Bible tells it like it is. And I pray that You would awaken our hearts, because I'm afraid that there are some, even in this congregation, that are on the broad way. They're getting all they can get out of this world. They want to go as far as they can, and then maybe at the end they think, well, we'll be able to escape. We'll get back on the narrow way at the end. No, they won't. They'll be destroyed because they didn't follow Your Word. Lord, this is critical. This is serious. This is the things that sober us in the Christian life. And I pray that You would sober us up, that You would awaken us to the dangers of this world, and that we would stop embracing it and start rejecting it and instead embrace Thee. That's going to make us unpopular. It's going to make us very few. But You told us in the book of Hebrews that we're to go outside the camp bearing Your reproach. I pray that You would strengthen Your people to wake up, to get their hearts and minds back in tune with Your Word, We're prone to wonder, as the hymn says, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Help us, Father, to get right with Thee and to do Your bidding and to accept Your claims upon our life and Your authority over us. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We'll close this morning with number 118, please. Number 118. The way of the cross leads home, as we've heard this morning. Our pastor preached that is the way through which we will come to Christ. Notice on the third verse, which is the verse that we want to sing, verse number 3, to bid farewell to the way of the world, to not walk in it anymore, but to look forward to our Savior. He's waiting there at the open door. Let's stand together, number 118, verse number 3. Thank you for these passages of Scripture this morning. We thank you, Father, for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is truly the way home. Lord, help us not to listen to the deceit of Satan and the deceit of this world system that tells us there's other ways and there's an easier way. Lord, how many times we've seen many people, young and old, fall to that wrong way. Lord, help us in our lives to focus on the way of the cross every day, to walk in it. Lord, help us to show it to our young people. Lord, to show it to our children and families, to show it to those that we see are in the world that are not saved. And Father, I pray that you would continue to help us to look forward to meeting our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's waiting, and He is the one that we're walking in and through, and we thank you for Him this morning. Now, Father, bless each of our families and bless us this day, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Lord bless you.